To you all, it's good to be back after a couple of weeks break. We had a really lovely holiday. Thank you, Cara, for your prayers. We appreciate your prayers. It was a very restful break, so we had 2 weeks up the Sunshine Coast doing not much, nowhere to be at no particular time, so it was really nice for us as a family. I got to catch up with some relatives because I'm from north of the border, so there's a few on the Sunshine Coast. Did a day trip to Brisbane as well, saw my Nana, which was nice. So, yeah, really good time and refreshed and back and ready to go once again. So it's nice to be with you. Thank you very much. I've got a number of thank yous in my absence. Thank you to Simon and to Nathan for preaching and leading. And Nathan, I'm sure, for music and many other things as well. Thank you for covering things and doing such a great job. I understand you had two great Sundays together in my absence, so thank you. Thank you to Barbara, who has beautified our entry, cleared things away, opened up the space and made it warm and welcoming. We really appreciate that. It's a great improvement, so thank you to Barbara. Also, Mark, thank you for organising a group of people yesterday to come do some work in clearing out one of the storage rooms and working, moving ahead on the kitchenette and so on over here. So I understand there was a number of people here yesterday morning who got quite a bit done over there. So that's great as well. So thank you very much for that. So nice to be back. Nice to be now focusing in on God's word, Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let me lead us in prayer as we come to think about its message for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us as individuals and to us together as a church. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you most of all for the blessing of your Son, our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it's in him that we're brought into fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. And we pray that as we work through this letter to the Philippian church, that you might teach us and encourage us and rebuke and correct us. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us this morning as we begin that journey. Lord, teach us and change us by what we hear, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the series in Philippians is To Live is Christ. I've given you a little flyer. I think you will receive one with your news sheet, your service sheet, as you came through, so you know where we're going. Might be good to take that and perhaps read ahead. You know the passages that are coming. If you're reading Philippians during the week, that will help you as we come together on a Sunday. This morning, we begin by thinking about sharing in God's grace from those verses that Gwyn read for us. So like all New Testament letters, this one begins with a greeting, telling us who it's from and who it's to. Let's not take too much time with this. But let's have a look at verses 1 and 2. We'll launch straight in. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, nothing too radical in this greeting. We know who it's from, we know who it's to. He then moves on in the opening of the letter in his usual style. That is Paul I'm talking about. He begins with thanksgiving and prayer in verse 3. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time thinking about these things. So verse 3. Paul writes that I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. So let's stop there for a moment. One of the many great things about holidays is that it gives you opportunity to stop and to think. There's time for reading and reflecting and praying and talking, and you can do all that without having to be in any hurry. There are a lot less distractions. And that really helps, I find, with prayer. There is actually some time to pray. And to be honest, there's also time to think about how little we pray. Life is busy. Life is very busy. There are endless distractions. There are things to do. And often, rather than asking God to be at work in our lives, in the lives of others, in the life of our church, we get on with doing things. Rather than asking God to do, we do. You know, we're activists. We are self-dependent rather than God-dependent. You know, that's human nature. That's our nature. Self-dependent rather than God-dependent. And that's why prayer is hard. Praying for ourselves, praying for our family, praying for our friends, praying for our church, praying for our missionaries, it can be hard work. It can be a struggle. Then we hear the Apostle Paul say, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." And there's two things that stand out here. The first is thanksgiving. Paul is full of thanksgiving. Whenever he thinks of the church in Philippi, that is his brothers and sisters in the faith in that city, his very next thought is thanksgiving to God. So he thinks of church, thank you God. And that would be a really good place for us to start, wouldn't it? Whenever we think about our church or our friends or our family, to begin with thanksgiving. What can I give thanks to God for when it comes to these people, to these relationships? Because if you're anything like me, often the first thought is, what are the issues? What are the troubles? What are those things that I need to pray for? The same could be said about our own personal lives. It's so easy to be negative. To be negative about ourselves, to be negative about our life, to be negative about what we have or don't have. And I think thanksgiving is a great antidote to negativity. If we're literally counting our blessings, if we're giving thanks to God who gives them to us, then it changes our mindset in a really healthy way. Thanksgiving to God, really, really important. The second thing that stands out in Paul's opening is that he always prays with joy. I guess that's the key words. With joy he prays. Not hard work, not struggle, not burden, not chore. With joy. And I'm sure that's something we all want. I want to pray for you and for my family and for others. I want to pray with joy. I don't want it to be hard work or a struggle. I want it to be joyous. We all want that. So the question is, how is it possible? You know, how is it that Paul, whenever he thinks of the Philippian church, he's filled with thanksgiving and then he prays with joy? Where does that come from? Well, let's read on. Prayer with joy. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Why? "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And we'll continue on in a moment. But there's the first reason, verse 5. "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Okay, a quick word association game. When I say partnership, you think? Cricket? Marriage, did I hear someone say? Yeah?
Spouse,
marriage, yeah? Business, company, yeah, it's quite a businessy type. That was kind of what I was looking for. There you go. Those other things are helpful, but a union. Yeah. I think the word partnership is kind of businessy, right? It's like a business arrangement, 50-50, 60-40, you know, there's a partnership in a business. The word in the original Greek is this one, koinonia. You may have heard of that. It can be translated partnership. That's an okay translation. It can also be translated participation or fellowship. It's the fellowship word. Koinonia means fellowship. In verse 7, if you've got your Bible open in front of you, a little bit further down, it's the same word, and there it gets translated share. We all share in God's grace. We all participate. We are all partners in. We are have enjoy fellowship in the grace of God. Here, in verse 5, it talks about how we all participate in the gospel. That is, we all enjoy the benefits of Jesus and what he has done for us, and how we now, by his power, serve him in the cause of his gospel. So that was the case with the Philippians. And that's why Paul is so thankful to God and why he prays for them with such joy. They're in it together. They are in Jesus and in the cause of his gospel together. The same is true for us, you and I. We participate in the same gospel. We enjoy the same Jesus and the same wonderful benefits his gospel brings. And we together are active in the same cause of seeing Jesus and his glorious gospel advance and bear fruit in our world. There is the reason for our hearts to be filled with thanks to God. We don't need to focus on the things that irritate us about one another or frustrate us or the disappointments we've experienced with one another. That only leads to grumbling and complaining. If we focus on the beauty of the gospel and our fellowship in it, we'll be filled with thanksgiving and joy. Which leads to Paul's second reason for praying with joy in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is confident. I wonder whether you would describe yourself as a confident person. Maybe it depends. I think there are two types of confidence. There's self-confidence, and then there's confidence in God. I think they're two different kinds of things. I think most of the time we are dealing with, talking about self-confidence, our own self-confidence and the self-confidence of others. I'm sure we've all met people on both ends of the self-confidence spectrum. Those who are the ultra self-confident and those who seriously lack self-confidence. Having dealt with people on both ends of that spectrum myself, I would much prefer to deal with people on the lower end of self-confidence than higher end of self-confidence, especially if they are your boss. Okay, so you get what I mean, self-confidence. Confidence in God is something else. And whether you are a person who struggles with over self-confidence or under self-confidence, or you are somewhere in between, confidence in God is something that you need. Confidence in God will give you a healthy self-confidence. So look again here at verse 6. Paul says, we see where his confidence is placed, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul's confidence is in God, not in himself, not in the Philippian church. His confidence is not that the Philippians will stick with Jesus until the end because they're good or strong or smart people. His confidence is in God, who through the gospel of Jesus Christ has begun a good work in them and will complete that good work. What God has begun, he will complete. Notice that God is doing a work in us. The gospel is not just an external message. It's not just a bunch of facts about Jesus and what he's done and we tick the box. Yep. It's not just that. It's not just external knowledge. The gospel works in us. We don't just kind of read it and learn it and keep it in the head or at arm's length. The gospel penetrates the heart. It changes us internally. God renews our spirit. He makes us alive in Jesus Christ. He begins a good work in us. And what he has begun, he has promised to complete. That gives us confidence, doesn't it? What God has begun in you, he has promised to complete. When God makes promises, he keeps them. Think of your own projects. Perhaps you have a project that you began that you never finished. Think of the state government and a certain project in George Street. Okay? Will that project ever be completed? When God promises to complete a project, he will be good on his word. So you can be confident, not in yourself, not in your ability to remain faithful or strong, but in God who has begun and will complete. Such confidence in God is so good for us, and it is glorifying to God because our confidence is in him. It glorifies God when we are confident in him. It's not arrogance. It's not over self-confidence. It's confidence in God. And if we are an unsure person, that's okay if we're unsure of ourselves, because we could never complete the work that is God's work to do. That's not our work to complete. That's God's work. So Paul's confidence in God, that's why he prays. He knows that God will complete the work, so he prays and asks, Lord, complete the work. His confidence is in God and his grace and his powerful gospel. And I want to encourage you this morning to share in his confidence and so pray with joy. When you come to praying personally, remember, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. When you come to pray for others, your friends, family, remember, he who began a good work in you, in them, will carry it on to completion. When you come together to pray for us as a church, whether that's here on a Sunday or in small groups or in our prayer meeting, which is, by the way, coming up on Tuesday night, we need to remember, he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion in Christ. This will help us to be filled with thanksgiving and joy. So that's point one. I realise that's taken a little while. You'll see that in the outline there's two more points to go. They're going to be much quicker, so don't panic. You still with me? Point two. Relationship with feeling. We could bold and underline the with feeling, just as prayer with joy, relationship with feeling. I emphasize with feeling because sometimes church relationships can lack feeling. We Anglicans are renowned for being a touch frosty, but not here, of course. Not here. I have not found that the case to be here at all. I am filled with great thanksgiving and joy to God because there is genuine love in this place. Because God is at work. We're not self-glorifying. God is at work. We glorify him for the work he's doing in us. But that's not the case everywhere. I've been in other churches that were a little colder. One particular congregation comes to mind. It's interesting because there was a smaller group within the congregation who had been there a long time and knew each other really well. And I think they genuinely thought that it was the most loving, warm, welcoming church that could be. But the problem was it was just within that inner circle. There were hugs and kisses within that circle, but anyone who was outside of that circle felt like there were two churches in this church. Okay, so that we need to be cautious of that kind of thing. So it's not always the case. Anyway, let's have a look at what Paul says about the relationship between him and the Philippians in verse 7. He says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share, participate, partner, fellowship in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I have you in my heart," he says. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That is pretty intense stuff from the apostle. That is heartfelt. He really feels. He mustn't be an Anglican. You know, he really feels for the Philippians. And I think this is a real challenge for us all, but particularly for me as the minister of the church. You know, Paul's the apostle who planted the Philippian church. I'm the minister responsible for this congregation here. It's a real challenge to me. I must not be a cold and distant minister. I must not be a minister who goes through the motions, gets the job done, but is disconnected. I must not be a minister who views you as my audience or as my workforce or my clients or, you know, whatever, you know, you want to add there. No. You and I, we together, we share in the same grace of God. I share in the same grace you share in. You share in the same grace. We're all here because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. So there should be a genuine Christ-like affection between us, between me and you, you and I, and between one another. I think Paul challenges us here. Relationship with feeling. Genuine Christ-like affection, genuine love, concern, care, sharing, openness, grace, kindness. That is already there in the Philippian church. It's already here in this church by the grace of God. But we want to see it more and more and more and more. Paul wants to see it more in the Philippian church, and so he prays with joy. He prays that they would abound in love. That's his prayer for them. That's his priority prayer for the Philippian church. It's a great prayer for us to prioritize in our prayer for one another, that we would abound in Christ-like affection for one another. That we would abound in love. Remember, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. With that in mind, here is the prayer. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So as we pray that we will grow in love for one another, that we will abound in such love, we need to remember that that love will come from the heart. It will be genuine, it will be heartfelt, it will come with feeling, but not feeling alone. You'll see there that the love is directed by knowledge and depth of insight. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. We need to know how to love one another like Christ. We need to understand how we might love one another like Christ. We need to discern in each situation how we might love one another like Christ. So we pray for God to give us understanding and discernment. Understanding and discernment that comes from Him, that comes from knowing God, knowing His character, knowing His word, which reveals His will, which teaches us how to love our neighbor and to love God. So we do need to be people of the word to know and to discern how we might best love one another with Christ-like love. It's God who teaches us, and it's God who empowers us by His Spirit to live in such a way, according to God's word and will, to love God, to love our neighbor. It's God that empowers that, so that we might be pure and blameless as we wait for the day of Christ. It's only possible by God's empowerment. It's Jesus and His gospel that gives us the right status with God, that we are righteous in God's sight through the blood of Jesus. We know that to be true. But then He also enables us to produce the fruit of righteousness in verse 11. We actually live out our righteousness in the day to day. We live according to God's right ways, according to His will. God empowering us, Jesus and His gospel empowering us to live to the glory and praise of God, as Paul says there, and, of course, living for, it's for our good. It's for our good and for the glory of God to live this way. So there you go. I'm going to finish there. We've only just covered the first 11 verses of the letter to the Philippians, and we've already been encouraged with things that God wants for us. He wants us to be filled with thanksgiving, not grumbling, complaining, being discontent, thanksgiving. He wants us to pray with joy. Yes, prayer can be hard sometimes. It can be a struggle. Sometimes it requires discipline. But He wants us to pray with joy. His grace is empowering us. The transformative power of the gospel at work in us. Our confidence in God who began something and who will complete it in us. Affection and love. Genuine Christ-like love for one another. These are the great things that we've already heard and been encouraged with this morning. So let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this part of Your word and the wonderful things that it teaches us about You and about the gospel of Your Son. We thank You that this gospel is not something that is just external knowledge, but that by Your Spirit You work in our heart and mind to transform us from the inside out. That You cause us to be people filled with thanksgiving and joy as we pray. Lord, You work in us to love one another deeply from the heart. And Lord, You enable us to live blameless lives as we wait for Your Son and His return. Father, we look to You to work powerfully in us, Your people here, to abound in such love that we may bring glory and honour to Your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.